We're not starting the podcast. You're just checking myself.
Yeah, I'm just riffing because Jared wants to do this whole bit where he quits the podcast.
No, I know, but you're not. It's not happening. This isn't it, right?
This is the whole thing. This is
No, I'm not ready.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast where we hut one, Z right, X post, screen on three, ready, break. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, and my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared. Whoop, gonna fake the idol out. Whoops.
So, Stephen, I did a similar bit yesterday before watching the episode, just volleyball started back up, and I made a bit about calling plays because the other team was like in a huddle between games.
Sure.
And I didn't play football, and you did, and that was easier for me than it was for you.
It has been a long time since I've called any play at all.
To be fair, I just pulled out the spider 2Y banana, so.
Yeah. And to be fair, anything that I was calling is far less complicated than what would be actually interesting on a podcast.
Yeah, football's so cool. In terms of that, of like all the shit that goes into every single play. Yeah. I love that nerd shit.
You want to know what was called when I was playing? It's either a dive or a toss. And maybe a pass.
I was going to say, do you guys just run it every play?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, it was JV football. And we were a very run-heavy offense, so, I mean, we were just doing what the head coach of the varsity team wanted us to do. Plus, me as your quarterback, you don't want me throwing the ball very much anyway.
Oh, you were the quarterback? I thought you played cornerback.
I was a corner, but in my JV team, JV or sophomore, I don't remember, all of our quarterbacks got moved up to varsity. So I was literally begged to be quarterback. And apparently, my dad told me this like years later, I was not their first option.
No.
I was like their second or third. I was the only one who said yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That feels bad.
I mean,
at least you know that the expectations were through the floor.
Oh, expectations low as hell.
Promise nothing and deliver less.
Yeah. I was going out there with a week's notice playing a position that I have not played ever in my life and hope to just survive.
Speaking of when we were in high school, you want to know what's the craziest fucking thing?
What?
I don't know about you, but probably. But
you feel in 22?
I definitely could have played Call of Duty against Jeffrey Epstein, it turns out.
Jared.
Or with him.
Please say against.
Well, like, you just get matched with random teams.
I'm gonna go with against.
I mean, yeah, obvious. Like, but, like, that's buck wild, dude.
I haven't dug into this. Was he a Call of Duty player?
Oh, like, Jeffrey Epstein is one of the reasons we have microtransactions, it turns out.
What?
He was good. Allegedly, I guess he knew Bobby Kotick, the person who, like, the head of Activision at the time that I think he got let go because a bunch of, like, harassment stuff a few years ago, which is hilarious.
Which is, yeah, par for the course.
Yeah. It's basically like, hey, you should get the kids' money, too. Here's how you can do microtransactions.
Here's how you get money from the children.
And then he was banned off Xbox Live in 2013. Epstein, that is, because of harassment, I guess. So he took his online shooters very seriously, it would seem. And, like, I was playing Call of Duty in those years of, like, 2010 to 2013.
Ugh.
That's fucking nuts. He also, Steven, guess what the abbreviation for the Call of Duty microtransactions currency was that he and Bobby Kotick helped make?
Jeffrey?
CP.
Oh, no.
Call of Duty points.
Oh, no.
It was...
Oh, yes. That's still active. Like, that's still what it's called today.
And it was kind of a bit of people being like, is that... Are you sure that's what you want the abbreviation to be? Actually, the Yakuza games have that too, unfortunately.
No.
They're called completion points.
No.
To be fair, it's a Japanese game that's translated. But, yeah.
America can do better.
Yeah.
We can change that. We just invest money into changing
and
it.
And the main, the guy who you like, it's like a like currency that's not super important in the game, but the guy who you like buy stuff from with it does abbreviate it the entire time.
No.
And he's a clown in a business suit.
Nope. Nuh-uh. You're making it worse.
I'm not doing anything, Steven.
Jared, how could you?
So yeah, anyway, it turns out one of us could have teabagged Jeffrey Epstein's dead Call of Duty body in a multiplayer match.
I hate that sentence. I hate all of that sentence.
It's so bleak. It's so insane.
Jared, I have a new fear unlocked.
Is it what I just said?
Well, that is...
You're like, I have two new fears unlocked.
I went to the eye doctor the other day,
mm-hmm.
and... My eye doctor spent a lot of time because they have like this special machine that does not like x-rays, but like basically a CT scan for your eyeball.
Yeah.
And she goes in, she's looking at it. She's like, huh.
You never want to hear that from your doctor.
You have a freckle in the back of your left eye.
Did I tell you this happened to me last year?
Did it? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
I have to get my eyes checked like deeply every year because of diabetes, because it turns out it can fuck up your whole damn body.
Yeah.
And yeah, they did. I had to come back a month later, and for like a whole fucking month I was freaking out.
Yeah. I'm not going back. I'm going to a specialist. But she's like, yeah, it's most likely nothing. In fact, if you go on the internet and do like go down the rabbit hole, you may find some like dark things, but like 99% of people, it's nothing. Or it could be melanoma.
Yep.
So that's fun. I didn't know you could get melanoma of the eyeball.
Yeah. No, you can get like cancer of most anything that has cells.
I didn't. Well,
that's fair.
That's not a thing. I
say that like almost a year ago to the day I wasn't in your same spot being like, you can get eyeball cancer?
Prostate cancer. Fully expected at some point in my life. Eyeball cancer? That's new. That's new to me.
Yeah. No, I'm a hypochondriac with a lot of health anxiety. And to be fair, because I have a lot of health issues,
sure.
Eventually it just becomes like, wow, yeah, I guess I'm just always head on a fucking swivel, you know? But I spent a month being like, what do you mean? Because they had to get me into a specialist too, mm-hmm. right? And so it was like, what do you mean you don't have anything available for a fucking month?
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to let me have a fucking panic attack for a month? And they did. I feel bad for that receptionist. I wasn't mean, but I was intense.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't like, you got to get me in right now. But I was like, ma'am, I am having a panic attack. And she's like, dude, I just work here.
My eye doctor, who's very good, was like, yes, they're booked for months out. So let me call them and see if I can get you in sooner.
That's an option?
I don't know if it's an option, but she's trying.
She knew a guy.
She knew someone, and she gave me a number. She's like, I couldn't sign you up for an appointment because I didn't have your insurance, like, information. Sure. And I was like, so you got to call this number. I'm like, they're just going to tell me it's going to be a month or two. Who knows?
How weird was it when I texted you today that I knew the gym in your office was being renovated?
Very strange.
Yeah.
I was, part of me went, what the hell, Jared? And the other part of me went, I know what this is.
It's my job and your job. A crossover.
Yeah. It's a crossover episode.
I recognized the address of the building and went, Steven.
I hate that. I hate that so much. Mostly because half of the people don't know that we're renovating the gym in our office. Like, nobody knows, really. I put out a message, but who knows if anybody reads that?
Oh, wait, is it literally? I thought it was just, like, in the building. Is it literally the one that's, like, for your floor?
No, God, no. We don't have one for our floor.
Oh, okay, got it.
No, it's just building.
I'm always watching, Steven.
You know who else is always watching? Emails! If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com. Or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT. Go to our subreddit, SurvivorTBT Podcast. Or you can follow us on Patreon, where you can watch us do video games, listen to us talking about things that are not Survivor-related. Speaking of which, we have to spin our wheel. Spinning that wheel right now.
Was this our most unhinged pre-email segment? At least in a while.
In a while, potentially.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. All right. Double Indemnity, 1944 movie.
I saw this on the list and I was hoping it would land on this because I was like, I could watch a movie from the 40s. Fuck okay. It, why not?
Double Indemnity. All right, get ready for that.
I feel like there's only a few things people were making movies about in 1944. Like, it seems like it was kind of an all-encompassing moment, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it was a different craft at the time. So there's going to be things that are going to be probably very good and some things that are going to be like, oh, that's rough.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So get ready for that. If you want to listen to us talk about that, you can follow us on Patreon for a dollar. A whole dollar. $1 a month. You can listen to our entire catalog. A year's worth of episodes. 4 episodes of us doing, I said Undertale, Deltarune.
Nah, I rubbed off on you.
And 1 Hyper Chess.
Is that video even watchable? I haven't seen
Hyper Chess?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I think it's funny.
Because I don't remember any of it. Like, I was so locked in.
It's a lot of me singing the same bit over and over again, but it keeps getting funnier and funnier. I call that a win. Any hoozles. First email from Michael C. Redemption Island, Episode 1. Welcome back, fellas, to Redemption Island, affectionately called Redemple Temple by some people.
Redemple Temple?
That's really funny. This season is difficult to talk about early on because, well, as you've seen, we've yet to officially eliminate anyone. So I can't really give too much information without spoiling future events, but I think it does show a flaw with the twist. Namely, the episodes, at least so far, don't have the same juice or closure as to them when there's not the finality of someone losing.
They still don't. I mean, even through 5 episodes, even though we've had people go home each episode, it's so early in the episode that, like, I kind of forgot that they were still in the game, and then I'm like, oh yeah, they're still here. And then it's just Matt beating them one at a time.
Don't get me wrong. I like the story we're told about Francesca and Philip, and it's told well, but it doesn't really end because, well, she's nebulously still in the game. Anyway, I'll save more of my thoughts on that for later in the season. In regards to your cast assessment, I think I pretty much clocked all of Jared's takes, though I am surprised he didn't call out Krista for being a Natalie derivative. Young blonde Southern pharma sales.
Oh, that's fair. I kind of forget Krista's her own person, to be honest. It's Stephanie and her friend.
They do kind of bury her for a lot of this.
Yeah, like, I mean, it might also be part of Christie's game, or Krista's game, to be fair, that, like, sure, yeah, let Stephanie be the lightning rod, whatever.
Sure.
Or maybe it's just her personality to be more, like, be more quiet, or it's editing. It could also be all of those things.
It could be all of the things. Be more chill. And I knew he would have feelings about Matt.
Oh, Iraq War veteran.
No, flowy hair Matt.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Mike, not Matt. Uh-huh. Yep, 2 M names. Mm-hmm. One of them actually, well, they're both kind of relevant in this episode, I guess.
Yeah.
I like Matt well enough. He's fine. He seems totally fine.
I also never once in my life met someone who goes by Andrea instead of Andrea. But the amount of people who say it the former way indicates there must be some out there somewhere.
I've met people who go by Andrea. I think it's sometimes a cultural difference, too.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I, in Minnesota, would default to Andrea.
Same.
Which is why now in my life that I've met so many
Andreas,
I am so confused and conflicted all the time that when I read it, I'm like, surely I have this wrong.
It's this because it's spelled the same way.
It is all the time. Yeah. And yeah, I was waiting for Jared to notice the Mesoamerican influence on the art design this season. The cultural appropriation aspects notwithstanding, I do find it a cool way to differentiate between seasons set in the same locale with the conquistador/Spanish influence in Nicaragua compared to the Mesoamerican style here.
Agreed.
You'll also notice that there's no new intro song, and in fact, they barely air the intro anymore, which is another change brought on by executive producer Probst.
But the intro's good.
Yes.
They still do the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. I have thoughts about this, but it kind of, this isn't really a spoiler. I'm just going to lay it out there. As we go further into the show, we use the theme song less and less and less.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before.
Like, it just disappears for entire seasons.
It does feel like a relic of, like, the changing of TV, mm-hmm. where, I mean, now things have ads again, but, like, and they always did, but, like, cable starting to die down, and I feel like long intros like that where the the era of like, all right, this is the time to get up and go pee before the show starts. Even though I like the intro.
I also like the intro. And it, if it was just nature shots, I'd be like, oh, I don't really, fine, you can skip past this. But
yeah,
it adds character. It shows a little of who these people are, even if it's just a, oh, here's a 1 second of them jumping in the air, smashing a tile.
Yeah.
Always do the intros.
Jeff has a slightly different vision.
Yeah. More to come, but thanks for the quality listen, as always, fellas.
Thank you.
And our second email from Josh. Josh says, this season represents the beginning of Survivor not really bothering with idol clues anymore. Both idols were found in easy-to-find places without any clues. I don't know if they specifically hit it for Russell to find, but they definitely want the idols to be found early and played often.
Mm.
The players don't pick their own seats at Tribal. Therefore, the show will consider what players are planning when assigning seats.
Oh, they don't assign... Because I've asked that before. Like, how do they decide who sits where and how do they decide the voting order?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that... I've never tracked that they move where they sit between tribals.
It's... Yeah. They're walked in a certain order and told to sit in certain places.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
An eagle-eyed contestant could probably pick up on some of that stuff. Although I guess by then it might be too late if it's about that vote specifically.
Well, Josh says, Boss and Rob couldn't do his whole plan of touching Christina if he was sitting four whole people away from her.
I feel like he could have found a way.
I do think it's pretty rare for people to cross sides post-challenge and shake hands in Survivor. You see it in the early seasons, but I don't think it happens that much past that. Survivor is different than rec sports because in rec sports, there isn't any fear of a player flipping teams.
Fair.
Debatable.
Well, yeah.
meanwhile, in Survivor, it can come off as you cozying up to the other tribe, which raises concern about your loyalty to the current tribe. That, I think, is the most important point and the reason why Matt gets voted out.
I still don't think it's the reason. I think that Boss and Rob use that as a very convenient excuse to push an agenda he already wanted to go after.
Sure.
But it's the game is always on in Survivor, and so if you like every little perception becomes reality if they can stack up enough of them.
Mm-hmm. Also mentioned the Rally Up fundraiser, which by the time this comes out will be well done. They actually closed it early because there was such a big response to it. So just wanted to shout out, thank you, Josh, for pointing out the Rally Up. But just looking through some of the players you covered, you can get cooking tips from now professional chef Jerry, an interview with Tyson, Ethan, Eliza, Parv, or Sandra, or get a bunch of autographed stuff from Sugar.
There was
like a pinup, but maybe that's just it.
I think it's just called a pinup.
A pinup of her.
Like a pinup poster?
I don't know if it was a poster or a photo. Maybe it was a signed photo. It's currently at about $10,000 raised about a week ago. If I click on this here link, it'll tell me that it's even more than that. It is at $14,697.
And that's raised as of Wednesday, February 4th.
Yeah. And it says it ends in 5 days, but again, this will be...
We had to backlog a bunch of episodes.
Yeah. So that'll be done.
But hey, good on the Survivor contestants.
Yeah. Good on everything. And that's all our emails.
Except our government.
Except our government.
Again, so fucking surreal that we have to have a fundraiser because of atrocities that, like, totally preventable. Poorly thought out atrocities.
Mm-hmm. Bananas.
I knew there was so much evil in the world. I didn't know it would be so stupid.
Yeah. Bumper.
This episode came out on March 16th of 2011. A couple things that happened in the week between episodes. 9.0 magnitude earthquake strikes Sendai, Japan, triggering a tsunami killing thousands of people and causing the second worst nuclear accident in history at Fukushima.
That's right. I remember where I was at this.
I did not realize, like, that feels like yesterday. We're getting into the era where it's going to start being like, oh, no, I'm old.
Who sounds like the boomer now, Jared?
Yeah. Oh, no. I biffed it.
I biffed it, dog.
The number one song is still Born This Way.
By Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. The top five movies are, we're going to talk about number five. Number four is The Adjustment Bureau. Number three, Red Riding Hood. Number two, Rango. Number one, Battle Los Angeles. I've heard of one of those movies. Wow, this is not a good list. Number five, though, Mars Needs Moms. Steven, are you familiar with Mars Needs Moms?
What? No.
Clearly not. This is a Disney movie.
What?
I can't believe you've never heard of this. Milo is a 9-year-old boy who has a lot on his mind. He has monster movies to watch, comic books to read, and all other kinds of fun stuff to accomplish. He definitely does not have time to do homework or eat his vegetables. He's getting tired of his mom nagging him to do these things, and his mom is tired of nagging. But just as Milo is telling his mom that life would be more fun without her, Martians kidnap her. Milo stows away on their spaceship, determined to launch a rescue. What do you think this rated on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
You're sure this is not like a Disney Channel original movie?
No. This is like a big budget Disney movie.
I was going to make a joke that this sounds like a porno. I have never heard of this
before. That's called Bruno Mars Needs Moms.
I have never heard this before, and maybe that's telling because a Disney movie that I have just no knowledge of. Okay, I'm going to go with critic score of 39, audience score of 45.
You've gotten so good at this. This is going to be your new like special skill. critic score of 34, audience score of 40.
Wow.
So, like, right there. I honestly expect it to be rated lower. The consensus being, the cast is solid and it's visually well-crafted, but Mars Needs Mom suffers from a lack of imagination and heart. Yeah, I mean, that description of it, like, the synopsis was bad. It was generic and boring. Anyway, that's it. I can't believe you've never heard of that. That's like a famous disaster.
No, this is like, I have never before in my life seen this.
If I remember correctly, like, and I probably don't, but I swore this like caused a bunch of turnover inside of Disney.
Are you sure that you're not just pulling a fast one on me?
A really elaborate prank that I plastered it all over Google.
Incredible. I don't know this at all. To be fair, this is also like the busiest year of my life in high school. Mm. I was so just burying myself at this point.
And Steven, it wasn't on the top five last week, and this week it's number five. So, like, when all those other movies I had never heard of. Like, I believe that this was a historical flop.
What fun. I'm learning things, Jared.
That's what we're here for.
All right.
Education and verbal shitposting.
Yeah. Sidebar, I want to go back to the Fukushima disaster for a second.
Shh, don't we all?
No.
Oh.
Was this the one that, like, a guy straight up jumped into the nuclear waste to, like, fix something?
I don't know. Maybe?
I feel like I remember a story of, like, guy did something that, like, absolutely put himself in danger.
The problem is the Chernobyl show was so popular that I don't know which stuff was tied to which.
That's valid. I could be absolutely mixing the two up.
But also, like, water is an extreme... We're way down a rabbit hole. Water is an extremely good diffuser of radioactive energy. Mm. So, like, those big cooling tanks for the nuclear power... Like, you can swim in those. You shouldn't. I mean...
Please don't.
Like, but, like, it's technically safe in terms of, like, the amount of radiation. That's why...
The Survivor Turning Back Time podcast does not advocate for swimming in nuclear water.
Obviously not. But it's... Part of the reason why they test nuclear bombs when they were tested underwater is because it's a really good diffuser of radiation. Now, the stuff that sprays out of the water and gets on land, not so much.
That's no good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into the episode. Episode 5, We Hate Our Tribe.
Did they ever say that? I mean, I guess they kind of said it with different words.
Sure. This sounds like something that Stephanie would say.
Yeah, that's true. I have one thing from the last time on. This whole segment of Philip being like, bye-bye, Rob. Did that happen?
I... I have no idea.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
They had this whole long scene of him like doing confessional about like being mad at Boston Rob and being like, I'm going to get him. And I remember he was mad about the Christina stuff, but that I think was new footage.
It could have been.
And is weird because it doesn't matter.
It didn't change anything. Yeah.
It doesn't matter this
Nor
episode.
Did it. Yeah, you're right.
Maybe it will matter in the future. I mean, he's talking with Andrea, but what?
Anyway. I don't know, man. Yeah, so we start the episode at Ometepe, and they are so happy that they have a tarp. Thank you, tarp. They get back from tribal, and hey, everything's not too wet. Take off your wet stuff. Let's just be in there warm. It was a close vote, says Philip.
Philip has a confession in the storm, which yeah. That sucks.
I'm the odd man out here, and that sucks. To Rob, you and I are going to be good cuddle buddies tonight.
And then Rob says, are you wearing your underwear? And he says, that's never stopped me before. Implying he's going to butt fuck Boston Rob, I guess.
I'm wearing them, but that didn't stop me, brother. Concern? What he is saying, I am assuming, is that I'd cuddle with you naked. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
We're all comfortable in our masculinity here.
I think this is what Philip thinks is humor.
Sure. We wake up in the morning and Rob's like, he had his knee in my back all night. He's completely off his rocker. He keeps aggravating everyone. But as long as he keeps doing that, it takes the heat off of me.
Well, and Boston Rob even says that the knee in the back, like he thinks that Philip was doing that on purpose to fuck with him.
Mm.
So even going farther than to ascribe it to ignorance, he ascribes it to malice and still goes, but maybe we should keep him around.
Maybe I gotta keep him around. Interesting. We flip to Zapatera, and Steve says, hey, the vibes are good. I know that Stephanie and Krista are on the outs, but maybe we can show them that this is a great place to be, and maybe they'll stick with us post-merge, because really, they should be trying to welcome them in a little bit and trying to make them feel a little loved.
Yeah, they should. I also wouldn't trust them as far as I can throw them post-merge.
No.
But I do think that Steve is naive enough to maybe trust them post-merge.
They decide who's going to go watch the duel, and Stephanie and Krista are the...
Sorry, the notes... It's so funny that the first note we don't see, but they all draw rocks. The second note has this clever wording of like, ooh, you can do it by this way or this way, decide who goes. And the third note's basically like, yeah, fuck it, send two people. We don't care anymore.
But they probably still have the rocks, so I don't know why they did all this card shenanigans when you could still do the rocks.
I don't know, man.
Why do you let Stephanie and Krista do this together? Do you think that these are so innocuous that, I don't know, whatever, who cares?
I think that I don't agree with Stephanie and Crystal in their entire argument this episode, there is some validity to they're not really playing the game yet. Mm. I think that they are to some extent, and I think that there's more conversations that like they're not aware of, and we'll get to all that. But I think it's a mixture of like not treating them as big a threats as they should to Flip, putting themselves in a bad situation where they said, let's do it by luck, and then luck went the exact wrong way. Uh-huh. And you can't go, never mind. We're actually, Krista, never mind. I'm going to go instead. Like, that's, if you're trying to build trust with them, a bad way to do it. And maybe the other, like, the main six not being evil enough, honestly.
Sure.
Of, like, they have good intentions, so they assume everyone has good intentions.
Call back to that later in the episode. I want to have that discussion. Yeah, Stephanie and Krista, real excited. They're ready to tell the people at this duel that we're ready to flip. Come on, I'm flipping.
You've seen Good Place, right?
Yes.
The six Zapatera, like the main six, are giving like that council that's like deciding all of the stuff, like that are like, oh, we'll put in a motion to consider your thing. Like they're like
the
just,
Good Place.
Yeah,
count. Yeah.
And they're just like all like kumbaya. And the two of them are like, okay, we're gonna go get stuff done.
The Democrat analog.
Yeah, precisely.
Hooray. Yeah, they're gonna go cause havoc and chaos, and it's gonna be great. We go to the duel.
Before the duel, I'm sorry, I missed one thing from my notes earlier. They did, in one of the, like shots of, like, Philip or whatever, while they were, like, somebody's, I think Boston Rob's talking about it, or somebody's talking about him, how much they annoy him, or he annoys them. They do a slow pan close-up on him from his feet, because they love feet on this show, up to his junk. And I was like, I don't need a close-up of Philip Shepherd's wang. I'm good, actually.
Do you think Philip's on WikiFeet?
He's got to be. Every Survivor contestant is on WikiFeet. I almost guarantee it.
Okay. Do you want to...
It's one of the sites I'm not allowed to go to because of the show.
Yeah. Start talking about the duel, and I want to look up Philip Shepherd on WikiFeet.
Sure. We've given up any semblance of showing Redemption Island at all except for these duels. We show the person arriving, and then we show the duel. Like, I guess the person arriving the episode before. It really feels so unnecessary that it is here. And through these first five episodes, I am liking this season a surprising amount. Like,
okay.
I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it's like, the shoe's just kind of sitting there on the shelf, and we pan to it for 5 minutes an episode. And then we go away. And it doesn't matter. So far, it's just a vehicle to keep Matt in the game for a while, I guess. But it feels completely useless, which is, I guess, maybe the best case scenario, because it either has a huge impact on the game, or it doesn't, or somewhere in between there. And right now we're really far on the, it doesn't really have an impact on the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think I prefer that over we're bringing somebody in, like, back from voted out every three episodes or something.
Sure. No Philip Shepherd on WikiFeet.
Guys, you know what you got to do. You know what you got to do. Carl, you have pictures of the episode. You can make this happen.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's something you could do. Something you could use your time to do. We have a limited amount of time in our lives.
Carl, you're not writing in long emails anymore. You have the time.
No, Carl just sent a long one on...
I know, the Nicaragua email.
On the Reddit.
It was good.
It's really good. There's a lot of good information there.
Go check it out.
Go look at the subreddit. Carl is a gold mine of information. Any hoozles. Yeah, the duel is to collect puzzle pieces and complete a cube. That's it.
Yeah, it's one of the 3D cube puzzles. Mm-hmm. These always look harder than I think they probably are, to be honest.
This one's interesting, and I don't know why it was so difficult for them, because all of the outsides are different than the insides.
They always are.
Yes, you're right. But, like, they weren't... I don't know.
I think it's the size. Like, this one was a lot bigger than we've seen the previous ones be if only one person's working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the amount of... I think if it would have been smaller, this would have been over in a flash. But the time it takes them to actually physically move the fucking pieces. And then, let's be honest, there's probably a certain part of your body that's like, that could be wrong, but I'm gonna put things in place because I don't want to have to get back to the spot if I can move these fucking heavy pieces.
You're right. And both of them struggled both with the size of this and with just the puzzle of it all.
Yeah.
And to the point where Matt's just like, ha, I'm going to do some banter back and forth with Rob because, I don't know, I got time. I'm working on a puzzle.
The most interesting part of Redemption Island is when the people that are there to view the duel, it's a challenge, whatever, talk to each other or talk to the people that are dueling. I don't care about the rest of it.
Matt's like, Rob, you rascal, you voted me out for no reason.
Rascal, the closest Matt has ever gotten to swearing.
I still don't know why. You could explain why. It may calm me down while I'm doing this puzzle.
Does Rob want you calmed down?
And Rob gives the same non-answer that he gives to Andrea. He's like, takes more than one person to vote you out, buddy.
That I really like that. If you're trying to hide responsibility of being the leader while still pulling the strings, being like, that was a group decision, like, is not a bad... As long as you're a good enough manipulator to get away with the premise of, like, putting the idea in other people's heads, and, uh-huh, and then they are all like, yeah, it was a group decision. Like, that's a great fucking strategy.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Anyone thinks about this for more than a few seconds, you're like, Rob did it.
But, like, you we know that because we're the viewers.
Sure.
But if you're Matt or Andrea, like, maybe it was one of the other girls that spearheaded this. Like, maybe they were worried about that. There's a lot of, like, a lot of people that could be worried about a potential twosome and, like, the power of that. So maybe it really was a collaborative decision.
But both of them are in this alliance, and they know how it works, and they know that...
Well, that's fair. That's a good point.
Rob is, if not leading the show, he is at least steering these... He is advising.
That's fair. That's yeah. Yeah, I guess I forgot that they would have been part of those conversations. Matt less so. He was second voted off.
Anyway, Matt wins it. Christina was just falling apart physically. She couldn't do this at the end. I felt bad.
Yeah.
How do you think Christina does in Future Survivor?
I feel similar to her as I do about Francesca. Like, she seems very smart. In fact, Boss and Rob told us multiple times she did not go home because she was weak and because she was somebody that he didn't respect. Like, she was a target because she was dangerous. And I think in the right season, like, I think she's actually even more dangerous than Francesca in terms of threat level. I think Francesca would be more likely to be a winner because I think people would, like, more people will see Christina coming. But in the right season, like, Christina could have a, frankly, like a Tom type of, not through like physical challenges, but like lead a strong alliance to the end type of deal.
Okay.
She seems like a true leader.
Yeah. I mean, she got her law degree at Laverne College of Law. Works as a family divorce attorney. Yeah, I mean, she seems like a badass. Funny stats from the Survivor Wiki. Voted against Philip at every tribal council she attended.
As she should have.
And was the first contestant to be targeted by a split vote more than once.
Oh, interesting. Which okay.
is, I think, just a fun little tidbit there.
That's crazy. That means a split vote. She's the first person to ever play an idol and then get a split vote again, or like, you know, like people who get split votes either don't play their idol and go home, mm-hmm. didn't have the idol, or I guess go out unanimously or you know, more close unanimously in the future,
or don't get targeted by split votes.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And set the record for the earliest discovery of a hidden immunity idol, finding it on day two.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Out Russell'd Russell.
Hell yeah.
We love to see it.
All right, moving on. Oh, I feel bad. She did ask the question of, do I have to burn the buff?
Yeah, that was, God. And Jeff's like, yeah, you have to. Why?
It's heartbreaking.
Why do you have to?
Yeah, just give her a prop buff. I don't really care.
I don't, it's kind of a bad tradition. Like, the show did not put enough thought into what do we do when snuffing the torch is not the final thing. I don't know what they should have done. I guess snuff it again.
We went down this rabbit hole.
I know.
We don't need to do it again.
I'm only bringing it up because, like, it really hurt her feelings.
Yeah. As this is ending, as Christina's, like, miserable and sad, Stephanie's just like, hey, I want to work with you. Please.
Yeah, letting the two of them go, and we talked about kind of why it happened, but it really is, like, I guess the inverse of the reward mistake of, like, everyone of the Johnny Fairplay Burton, like, oh, we'll go on reward, and everyone else back at camp talks. It's like, you sent the two outcasts to go, like, have free time with the other tribe?
It's a choice.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like, I'm a free agent, come on. She said, I didn't plant a seed. It's like I took a whole sequoia tree in Rob's head.
Sure.
You got it.
She really thinks she's running this game. With Russell gone, Stephanie is growing on me again.
Mm.
I like evil women. I like it. I like it on my reality TV. It's fun.
May I introduce you to Electric Light Orchestra? Evil woman.
With Russell around, she had a little, and it flashes a little bit, but like there's a little bit of pick me energy. I'm worried if she's around Boss and Rob, that's going to happen again. Like, sure. If she makes it post merge, but yeah.
I love strong men.
I'm not like other girls. I'm worse, says Stephanie.
No. Over at Ometepe, Phil is struggling to make an impression with these ladies.
Oh, no, he's made an impression.
He has, and it's clear, to the point that they reused footage of them being grossed out by his underwear.
He told us, almost verbatim, that the women were running away from him.
Yeah.
He describes them like crabs, in that the crabs on this island like will hide in the little holes when he gets near, and so do the women of the tribe.
They're quick to run away. Have a difficult time trying to approach them. Natalie and Ashley specifically. Andrea's better, but she's cautious, and I can feel that.
I wonder why, Philip.
Did you clock that they covered the fire?
Yes, that they have a fire shelter.
Uh-huh.
That's never gone wrong before.
I just wanted you to clock that.
I will say, because I did, they are keeping the fire much lower than in Amazon.
Sure.
They can't burn the camp down again, right?
We can't do this a third time.
It's rainy enough, right?
Ashley is missing Grant and Rob. We have to fake it while Phil's around so that he feels like he's part of the group. And we have to fake it when Andrea's around because we want her to feel like she's part of the group. But we don't really care about either of them.
Who's the other girl that's with her? Ashley and
Natalie?
Natalie. Because we get Ashley's the mouthpiece for the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Survivor does this a lot, right? Like, I don't necessarily always like it or agree with it, but if people move together as a pair or as a threesome, they might make one person the spokesperson while there's a whole bunch of people still in the game.
I also don't need both of them to tell me the same thing.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is like, how interesting are they?
Right.
The next time on, and this stuff makes me go, are they lovers?
Oh.
Do they have a showmance?
They're going to lay out on the beach and rub oil on each other's bodies.
You're towing a line there, Steven, but yeah, they might.
Lovers don't do that.
We're ending up in Steven's fantasy land of what Survivor could be.
Stop.
No. He wants Hot People Island Survivor Edition.
That we have shows for that. And
we're watching one right now.
I don't like them. Andrea feels the frustration, and these two ladies, they just don't do much. And I want to keep getting stuff done. Like, they're sweet girls, but their conversations are superficial, and I don't really care for that. And we have our five, but I would kind of rather just get rid of the girls here, right?
And it makes me wonder how much of that superficiality is because they don't, because Andrea's on the outs, versus like how much of that is Ashley and Natalie's personality. If it's more of the latter, then like I see why they don't get much screen time. But I really like Andrea from this bit and from the post vote out of Matt conversation with Boston Rob. Like, she has a good read on what's going on in the tribe, mm-hmm. her options, and she has a pretty bad hand at this point and is playing it really well.
It's true. And yeah, if I was in her place, I would probably be feeling the same thing, in that I have been around rooms where you're like, oh, can you give me anything more than surface level here? And yeah. Please have personality, something.
I'll just get weird. I'll just start talking about weird shit.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
No, but I mean, like, when it's like a superficial conversation, like I can't help it. I'm gonna try to break down that barrier one way or another.
But even in like the theater space, I feel like there are people who are so presentation focused.
Uh-huh. Well, and you do a lot more musical theater than I do.
Right.
That is
musical
way
theater
more the case.
Musical theater is far worse than that. But I don't tolerate it well.
Steven, don't you just wish that you could be some of the like boring, happy, pretty people sometimes?
No.
No, but they look so happy.
Are they?
Maybe. I don't know.
Are they really?
Ashley and Natalie seem happy.
Okay, well, yeah. But Andrea can't bring up the thought of taking those two ladies out without putting herself in danger.
Well, yeah.
And I'm glad that she acknowledges this,
because
mm-hmm. it's important to not just throw daggers and without realizing your name is on them.
And too many people do, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, go too hard too quick, especially when they're on the bottom.
Much too soon.
I was counting votes when she was doing this, and I forgot Grant was in the game. when I was doing. I was like, oh, if you got Boss and Rob, like, you'd have them. But, like, why would he do that? And then I forgot Grant was there. He is kind of just, like, Boston Rob's
lackey.
Frankenstein creature, right?
I did, the, for whatever reason, the picture that I took of him in, like, panic mode of, I don't remember what the conversation was, someone saying, oh, he wanted revenge, Matt wanted revenge, and his face of,
oh, yeah,
ooh, ooh. So good. I will remember that for the rest of my life. Weirdly, Philip and Andrea Bond, the two unlikeliest of friends.
Odd couple, let's go.
Philip, hey, you're a hard worker. Andrea says it's frustrating that there's always work to be done, but you still have to play the social game.
And I think this might also be why I am really impressed by Andrea. If she can befriend Philip, she can befriend anybody.
And
I don't think Philip's hard to befriend, but I think that after, listen, I have really enjoyed Philip on the show because it's a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would be voting him out from day one. Like, if I was on his tribe, I don't care what everyone else is doing. I am writing down Philip's name until he is gone.
If you're going solely on these two aspects of working hard and social game, they balance each other out really well. Because Andrea has a good social game, but is a good worker. Probably less so than Philip, because Philip is putting all of his eggs in that basket and not worrying about the social game.
Well, I think he's worrying about it. I think he's utterly incompetent at doing
that
it.
That is fair. And he knows it. He says, look at me. I'm stuck. I haven't connected with anyone in this game. I mean, you a tiny bit.
The smartest Survivor players are the ones that find the people that are the outcasts and at least get close to them, if not like align with them. Like, in a world where Andrea's in the final, or at the final tribal, and Philip's on the jury, like, this conversation will mean something.
Andrea does something interesting here, though. She goes, you haven't tried to throw me under the bus, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Philip, no, never.
He gets, like, really in her face about it. Only... Which I know he was just trying to be, he's just intense, and he's like, look into my eyes, but it's jarring.
Only Rob and Grant and you guys are pulling the strings. At night, you all have your chat. I could see you, me, and Matt as an alliance if Matt comes back.
Yeah, it's an interesting Hail Mary from him.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt just might at this point. I know I joked and like that I was like, Matt's not coming back. Like, he's the second vote out. He has to win so many duels. Well, so far.
Philip is funny here. He says Rob has a history of throwing people under the bus.
He does.
He's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He did his homework.
That's true.
Is he the best messenger for this? I don't know. But...
No, because he's laid under the bus and said, run me over, daddy. Like,
don't tread on me, ooh-woo.
You have my vote. Like, those are his words. My vote is yours.
Oh, man. And then Rob gets back. He says, Christina won. Just kidding. Of course not. Who thought that was going to happen? Am I right?
It was close-ish.
And then this conversation that I want to just point out that Philip says, Rob right now is the king, and I am the Lord. I am waiting for an opportunity to replace the king. Philip, that is not how any of this works.
No, I thought that's actually very accurate.
What?
He's historically accurate. He's talking about, like, not like lords, like, oh, I'm in the line of succession. No. I'm waiting so I can overthrow the king.
It sounds more like he's waiting for the king to die and then he can take over.
Which
is not how line of succession works.
No. I took it as more like British history of like, well, the lords got together and we're killing you now. We're getting you. That's, yeah, there's a long, it's not just British, but that's my frame of reference of like history of kings helping out the peasant class, because then that would hurt the noble class, because they don't want the noble class to become too powerful, because then they will overthrow the king. I can see Philip being a student of history.
Okay. Over at Zapatera, Stephanie, I don't want to go back. Do I have to go back to this tribe that I'm a part of? Rob heard us loud and clear, though. So we got to say something.
I guess I want Stephanie to tone it down like 15%. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's playing for the cameras, and I like when she isn't, she's really interesting.
Yes.
But this is the section where I was like, stop being such a pick me. Like, argh, where she's like, they vote out Russell for no reason. It's like, you know the reason. Like, you understand the game. You're pretending like you don't to get sound bites on TV. But like, if you just would be yourself, brackets evil, at the same time, like, I would like watching you even more than I do.
Yeah, and Stephanie says, we tell them everything that happened except for the part where we offered them our votes, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's them plus two in our numbers. So when you're thinking about how they have to bridge that gap, really, it's not as far as a gap as they think it is.
Well, and that's not even a plus two. It's a four-vote swing because Zapatero is losing two and Ometepe is gaining two.
Yeah. Steve talks about how we always put the team above yourself, and every team I've been in was a success. There's no I in team. Hold on,
citation
Steve.
Citation needed when he was an undrafted free agent that played on a bunch of different teams.
Correct. So you're saying that every single team you ever played on won the championship?
Well,
it's how do you measure success?
Yeah, yes, yes. But also, and that's a great sentiment, maybe he was on, like, only really good teams in his career. I want to be clear, I'm not, like, diminishing his career.
Good talented teams, good locker room teams, good, like, there's a sure. lot of different
maybe
ways
he made the playoffs every single year he played. I don't know. He had a long, semi-long career, and he bounced around a lot. But also, that's not the game of Survivor.
No.
But this is not a team game.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of know the truth between the dichotomy we're being fed this episode.
You can't handle the truth, Jared.
Is, like, Stephanie accuses the six of them of not having any strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie and Krista. And they push back at Tribal and say, we do. You're just not involved in those conversations because you don't talk to us and you're not playing the game. And I wonder how much it's true because the editors are telling us that those six are not really actually playing the game past the final six. And at the same time, you can't play the end at the beginning.
Right.
You do have to get to the merge. Mm-hmm. You have to be in the power position through the merge or find a way into it. So there's like credence on both sides of the argument, but I'm glad we had the tribal bit that we'll get to of them breaking down sort of the relationships because we haven't gotten any of that until now.
Yeah, I think it's easy to be comfortable and not have to plan like a long anything when you know who your next two votes are.
That is true.
So that's something that Chris is getting at in this point.
And actually Stephanie's with Krista gone is in a way better position than she was this episode
mm-hmm.
because being the last one out of the alliance is actually usually a very strong position.
It's usually a pretty power position. Krista says that when they have to go at each other, it's going to be ugly. Do you agree with that? And I mean, we see a little bit of it.
Yeah. I don't think too much. I mean, clearly there's some interpersonal conflict, especially with David, but I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. Mike kind of caps it off here and says, I don't see the ladies as too much of a factor in the long run.
That feels like something that was put there to be wrong.
Mm.
Honestly.
And Julie, in the reverse argument, goes, yeah, we're kind of overconfident right now, and things can get on a roll, and who knows what happens at that point.
It led me to believe that they were going to lose this challenge. And then when I saw what the challenge was, I knew that they were going to lose this challenge. But Julie's whole thing was kind of weird, where she was like, well, we threw that challenge, and so now what if they get, like, that can mean we keep losing. And I was like, Julie, you won last episode. You've won since then, mm-hmm. so that's not really what happened. Okay.
We all have inner fears.
Sure, but they could have plucked that confessional from before they won the challenge they won last episode, for all I know,
I guess. That's a good point. So then we jump to the immunity challenge. One person is the caller, you're guiding a group of blindfolded people through a maze to collect puzzle pieces, and then that same caller then solves a word puzzle.
This was just made for Boston Rob. This is the Boston Rob challenge. You get to be loud on the front end, and then you solve a puzzle on the back end, and you win.
It's two things he's good at.
He's great at it.
Yeah. And They're also playing for coffee and pastries in addition to immunity.
Sure. It's nice to see a sweets-based reward that has substance to it still. It's still bread. It's not just like chocolate, you know? Mm-hmm. I think by this point in the season, I do want two challenges. I think like episode 4 to 6, we can stop the combined challenges at this point.
I would agree, but I don't think they have enough time because of...
Oh,
because
of fucking Redemption Island.
Because of the duels.
God, the specter of it haunts the whole season.
Yeah, they sit... Steve and Julie are the two from Zapatera who are not participating. Stephanie is the caller on one side, and David is not happy about it. And Rob is the caller, as we mentioned, and there's no way they can take that from us, says Rob.
I kind of agree. Like, Boston Rob, again, it's the Boston Rob challenge. We get to see more pre-challenge strategizing because it's important.
Yeah.
And it's super cool. I really like seeing this.
It is important, yeah. Because there's a little bit of back and forth between Stephanie, and a lot of people go with Stephanie, but David is also, he's a lawyer and good at puzzles, I guess.
Yeah, that was something that they're like, he does puzzles for a living, and I went, he's a lawyer.
It's not the loosest term of a puzzle, but okay.
Yeah, like he's not reviewing documents, or, you know, I don't even know what kind of law he's in, let alone, like, that's not. I wouldn't consider law a puzzle, necessarily.
Unless he's sitting in his office doing the New York Times crossword.
Oh, you know he is.
Yeah. Yeah, Stephanie honestly does not too bad of a job.
Yeah. I think she beats most people here.
Jeff says that Rob gets a pretty big lead, but it's not big enough that she couldn't jump it with untying bags.
Yeah, Boston Rob is like carefully picking out tiles and still manages to drop one.
Yeah.
And she just dumps them all out and catches him.
Yeah, I'm a little confused as to why Rob was doing that.
That was a weird, like, he doesn't make those kinds of mistakes in challenges usually. I did love her being kind of snippy at some of the people.
Ralph.
Like Ralph specifically, like, Ralph, stop talking.
Stop talking. And Ralph, I mean, yeah, he was absolutely interfering with what she was trying to do.
Yeah.
She could have maybe multitasked a little better, but...
Have you seen... I think it's the COVID season of Taskmaster, or one of them, where they had a caller and two blindfolded people. It was a team task. And the caller just left the dude. Like, yeah, just hang out over there. I'm not worried about it. You're just going to stand there the entire time.
It's been a while since I've seen that.
Oh, love Taskmaster.
Because Michaela and I have jumped around a little bit, we haven't been able to watch any of the Champion of Champion seasons.
Mm.
So we watched our first one, Champion of Champion 4.
Sure, yeah, the first one.
I mean, no, the last one.
I don't think I saw that one actually yet.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing I haven't seen from Taskmaster.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
Here in Chicago. They were like two fucking blocks from where I live.
Yeah.
But the tickets were $800.
The tickets were out of control.
Scalpers.
Can I please, like, can we put any sort of legislation in to stop scalpers? I am so fucking sick of scalpers.
It's not the top of the list.
No, I...
But it's on the list.
No, it's not. Ticketmaster lobbies so hard to keep that out of anyone's mind.
Yeah.
I hate them.
I hate them too.
So much. Like I said, Stephanie catches back up on opening the bags, but she can't get that puzzle together. It seems like both of them were close for a long time. Like, they put together the first word and the last word, but couldn't figure out what the middle stuff was.
Yep.
I didn't even catch what it was. Did you?
The sweet taste of victory.
Oh, nice.
I went back and looked at it. I did think it was a fun shot, by the way, that you don't always see. It was Jeff barking out something, you know, you got to dig deep or whatever he's saying. But in the background, Stephanie is just screaming her face off right over his shoulder. It's so funny.
Oh, that's good. And like I said,
there's drama around the fact that Boston Rob dropped a piece.
Yes.
But he figures it out like quickly enough.
The reason why it's not a big deal is because there are literally chunks where the letters are supposed to go. So he could not have screwed it up unless he's like, oh, I don't know where this letter is.
Or, like, dug through the bags or couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Like, if it fell, like, in a spot that was hard to see or something, and dig around for a little bit. But like,
he put all his letters out and said, "Oh, I'm missing one." Yeah. Oh, there it is. Crazy. Anyway, Ometepe wins, and we dogpile on Stephanie almost immediately.
They really do. Yeah. And some of them are like kind of crossing the line. We're like, I think, I don't remember who said it, but someone was like, I don't think she's smart enough for this.
Steve does.
While she's doing it, I was like, oh, okay. I don't think that's true. What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't think that's true either. Yeah, she was going against one of the best puzzle solvers in Survivor.
Yeah. And she got close. Like, I don't know.
She solved a majority of the puzzle.
Also, like, y'all can't throw a challenge and have David stand there going, duh, on a puzzle and then not expect the people that you didn't tell were throwing the challenge to try to fight for their chance to do the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm all for, if you're going to vote these people out, give them a shot.
And then all of a sudden we get a Julie confessional where she's not upset about losing.
Yeah.
Where she says, oh, it's actually kind of like we won. So the confessional before the challenge was, oh, I'm so nervous. It could spiral out of control. And then afterwards is, oh, well, that's good.
That does make me think that might have been a little cherry picked from earlier.
I think so too.
Over at Ometepe, Philip trades half a donut for a massage.
He tries to
okay.
I don't think anybody takes him up on it.
I don't know who would.
Ashley says, I wouldn't do it for a dozen donuts in a confessional. And I am sure that Philip means well. That's a kind of weird thing to say to your tribe, man.
Mm-hmm.
Especially your tribe of mostly younger women. Mm-hmm. Dude,
you gotta read the room.
That's creepy.
They're all enjoying their donuts, and Grant opens the coffee and sees the note in the coffee. And then kind of like shoves it in Rob's face. Rob, smell this coffee. The thing that's very clearly a note in there. And Rob goes, ah, yes, of course. What lovely coffee.
So at this point, from this and Heroes versus Villains, what I've determined is that if there is coffee, dig in there immediately.
Yeah, please look in the coffee. So Rob and Grant do this elaborate scheme where one is in the way of the other. Grant is blocking everyone from seeing what Rob is doing with the coffee. And then they, instead of like taking the thing out of the coffee and just like slipping it in the pants, they take it away.
It would be so hard to hide getting that note out of the coffee.
Yeah.
People are going to see you reach your hand in that coffee.
I think it's weirder to take an entire jar of coffee out of the camp.
Right, but they turned their back and like slid it in their pocket or like hit it against their body so they didn't see they had it when they walked away
from
camp.
They get away with it.
It's honestly, it's pretty impressive in the way that like they make it look like Grant has the coffee, but Boston Rob takes it.
Yeah.
But Grant stays around, then Boston Rob goes away. Grant takes a couple steps away. Boston Rob gives him the coffee because he's already pocketed the note.
Yeah.
And then Grant comes back smelling it. So like, if they're not, unless they're paying really close attention, it would just be like, oh, Grant stepped away for a second and then like had the coffee the whole time.
And in this confusion, this mess of everything going on, Rob does a masterclass of a move in, all right, I've already deceived my tribe's mate of, all right, we're stealing this clue, but I've deceived my alliance mate. And he doesn't know that I have the clue and the idol at this point. I'm going to give him the first clue, which, as we established, is a nothing burger.
They read it out this time, and I was like, yeah, actually, Rob, that clue does tell you nothing.
No, not a damn thing. And so he flips that with the one that was in the clue, like in the coffee this time, and I think it was a brilliant move.
Survivor needs to hire, like, the best escape room engineer they can find to make these clues. Please, for the love of God.
Oh, it's just great.
And then he says, like, he doesn't even need to be doing this, which is true.
Yeah.
He's like, I already have the idol. This is just for the love of the game. He's like, I'm just bored.
You gotta hustle if you want the dollar. Everyone knows that.
Which, like, this season has everything I love. I've kind of already talked about some of this stuff, but, like, it has the goofy side quests.
It does.
Boston Rob, who I do love. Evil women or woman. And a freak show of a person in Philip.
Sure.
Everything I love. How can this season be bad?
How could this all go wrong?
God damn it. I I am still naively believing that the season is going to continue being awesome and that it's just people's taste that has it ranked so lowly.
Sure.
I'm going to keep believing that despite everything happening on your face and my own better judgment.
I am not here to color your opinion. I am here to sit and enjoy this Survivor season with my buddy Jared.
Great.
We go over to...
Oh, and Russell going home early. It has everything I want.
Yeah, it's everything you want in a Survivor season.
Yeah.
We go over to Zapatera where we're talking about Stephanie and that challenge. And it's such a weird conversation because Sarita is like, hey... Steve is like, man, she shouldn't have done that. It should have been David. And Sarita goes in, yeah, but I prefer Steph in that position because David under pressure is really stressful sometimes.
That is not the thing to say, Sarita.
It's not the thing to say.
Even though she's right.
Even though...
I don't know him, but like the fact that she says he's not good under pressure and then he immediately
don't even go there.
At her.
Don't even go there. Me under pressure may not be how you want it, but I don't freak out. I don't freak out.
He says while freaking out.
I'm like, oh my God.
It
my
honestly,
whole life is based on being under pressure. He seems like the kind of person that would make me real like, I can't be around you.
Yeah, he seemed so cool. And then like the way that he yelled at her made me uncomfortable, to be honest. Like, just like raising his voice and pointing his finger in her face. And I was like, ugh.
He's so defensive over a nothing.
It's nothing. It's so weird.
And clearly this is established from before because... Sarita has to have a reason as to why she's like, oh, him under pressure? I don't like this.
Yeah. I think that was a mistake of Sarita to say that. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Just to reiterate. But David just blew up his whole game, maybe, over this? Like, the fact that you're still like, ugh, should have been me. I hate that I'm tied to him as my winner pick because that is... Pride is one of the fatal flaw or like fatal sins in Survivor and not being able to like let things go. And that is not a good look.
Jared, I am the one doing the puzzles from here on out. Me, point blank, end of discussion. No more. No more.
Or they'll vote you out.
or there's that. Yeah. Mike's like, we need to be smart about who we put where. This is a personnel problem.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarita, I forgot to mention this earlier. She kind of looks like the girl who runs the inn in Schitt's Creek. And like has like a similar like vocal cadence to her sometimes too. Without the vocal fry, but yeah.
The other Levy child?
Oh, is she a Levy child?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been, huh. They pretended to be intimate. That had to be weird.
Did they?
No, you're thinking of the waitress. I'm talking about the one who runs the inn.
Oh, I am thinking of the waitress. Who runs the inn? Oh, Stevie.
Yes, Stevie.
Got it. Heard. Yes.
Just Stevie vibes.
Stevie! I see that. Krista and Stephanie basically have given up at this point. Like, is there anything we can do with these dumbass people? Nah.
It's weird because they're talking about how, like, well, they should get rid of Steve. He's so unhealthy. What?
I haven't seen any of that thus far.
Is that true?
He also didn't participate in this last challenge.
We don't.
It's not a physical challenge, so I'm not like, okay.
We don't get a ton of him, so I don't have anything. I only have her word to go on it, I guess. Like, he's not Jimmy Johnson levels of ailing.
Yeah.
But maybe he is. Maybe he is actually unhealthy. But the other thing is, like, and they kind of call, the rest of the tribe kind of calls the two of them out of at tribal council. Why are you not scrambling? They're like, eh, it just won't work. Like, what the fuck? You both pretend to that you like want to run this game, but you're just gonna lay down and die. And I think part of that's the side effect of Redemption Island. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, well, whoever goes home,
it ain't over.
We're not actually going home.
Yeah, I can go fight my way out.
But it's dumb. It's dumb to just not try here.
And again, I agree. I think you always should be fighting to stick around. But those six haven't given any sort of credence.
But Krista called out their divisions.
Yes.
In tribal. She uh-huh. said, like, oh, there's these two. I don't know where that leaves David. Like, why were you not pulling these threads at camp? Why were you waiting till tribal?
Agreed. I also think that was more for... whichever of the two survives has something to play with.
Yeah. It's just... What, like, you could have said it at camp and at tribal.
Uh-huh.
And maybe, like, maybe at least tried to make something happen.
Maybe she thought that it was a slam dunk Stephanie's going home.
Maybe.
After that performance.
To be honest, if I was Krista, I probably would too. Like, oh, Stephanie has been quite loud and abrasive, whereas Krista seems to be quieter at least. And Stephanie fucked up the challenge, or quote unquote fucked up the challenge.
Yeah, which is weird because Stephanie was actually pretty quiet during Tribal. The one who was like, all right, I'm being vocal at every opportunity I get, kind of like clammed up.
We might have also cut out that stuff.
Sure.
Because Krista goes home. So let's show the reason Krista goes home, or sorry, goes to Redemption Island. I hate having to say that. This season's so good except for that one thing.
Jump to Tribal. Krista says after Russell left, there's been no game playing. It's like the Brady Bunch gone camping, and we're the two step siblings, or the redhead stepchildren.
You can't play the end at the beginning. You don't know what pacts and alliances they have that you just aren't privy to.
Krista's interesting here because she says, I'm not here to sit around a campfire and play a game.
Which is literally what you did before Tribal.
Which is kind of what this game is.
Well, sure, that too.
But yeah, it's interesting from her because we don't see much of her playing game. Like, she kind of gets led around a bit. And suddenly she's like, no, I want to play game with people. I want to do some serious strategy. And you're like, but you didn't make any big moves. You were just kind of there. And Mike snaps back. How about you form a bond? How about you make friendships and lasting and we sing Kumbaya?
I mean, there is a certain level to Stephanie and Krista that, like, they have refused out of stubbornness to adjust their game of, like, no, I'm not going to integrate with the tribe. Fuck them. We'll have our mean girl click and they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, let me read out my burn book of these people who are together. Krista says Mike and Steve, Julie and Steve, Sarita and Ralph. Who knows about David? David's on his own, I guess.
David's there.
Yeah.
But you just listed off, like, oh, Steve's the center point for those two. Like, did you try to go to David or any of the rest of them and go, hey, seems like Steve's in a really good spot. Do you have a final three pact with him? Like, it's just, it's frustrating.
Yeah. And Steve, again, doubles down here and says, I would have thrown down to have David do the puzzle. Then why weren't you...
Why is this the hill you're dying on?
You could have been more adamant at the beginning.
I think he pushed for it in that, like,
he did
challenge.
Yeah.
Like, but Sarita's their leader. So I guess he abdicated that a little bit. And I don't know. It's just, like, who fucking cares, man?
And then Stephanie with one final gasp here. I'd have to rely on my record. Hopefully I've done well enough in other challenges to keep me around. With Redemption Island, we have to keep our faith in each other post getting voted out.
Still just refusing to integrate into the tribe.
Yeah.
Fully. Which I know that they want to wait till the merge or a tribe swap, but you can do both. You can do both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, like, for an episode where it's obvious who's getting voted out, pretty much from the beginning, like, it was pretty clear to me that Zapatero was going to Tribal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a well-edited episode in that context.
Okay. Well, anyway, we vote, and Krista's voted out on a 6-2 line. Steve getting strays.
Yep.
Who's your protagonist of the episode?
Yeah, you can't ask me how I think
I had to think about that real hard.
In future seasons. Oh, I guess it does seem like she could beat Matt, though. There was the next time on, like, hinted at, like, oh, maybe Matt's in danger.
Maybe.
And this episode, they are really pushing the narrative of, like, these two girls are going to reunite and are going to be important.
Mm.
See if that's true.
Okay.
Protagonist of the episode, I think it's Stephanie.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's obviously the person running the challenge, but, like, she's the one that goes and views the duel, talks to Boston Rob. The conversation between her and Krista. There's not a lot of action that happens this episode. A lot of side quests. I do love a side quest.
We love a side quest.
Especially early game, love a side quest. they can tell you a lot about a person. Like, I learned a lot about Boston Rob from this episode. Like, Boston Rob in Redemption Island and where he's at in his game.
Great.
So, anyway, yeah, that's it.
All right. then let's get out of this episode. Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Trading Back Time podcast. Jared, anything you'd like to promote?
I think I plugged it last episode too, but Church Hurt, a new reading that we're doing at Black Cat Theater. It'll be coming out. The two dates are February 16th and March something, but it's on our website. We have a website now. We had one before. It was really stapled onto our artistic director's website. Now we have like an actual functioning website.
Black Cat has a website.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes. Not Survivor Turning Back Time podcast.
Yeah, our website, you can go to Patreon.
Yep.
I guess technically we have an RSS website, but there's nothing there unless you're listening to our podcast.
Oh, and I guess I'll say too, divest from Spotify. Please keep listening to us. But like Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, I think Overcast is another one. Like there's a bunch of podcasting apps.
We're in a lot of places.
And Spotify, yeah, we are RSS into like every major podcasting place that I think. But like Spotify supports ICE. So if you don't, get off of there. I have not yet. And I have been meaning to for a couple months and I keep not doing it.
I'm going to. I'm playing the game because Michaela keeps asking me, we should do something with our Spotify. And like, that's fine. But then we also lose Hulu because I'm on a student plan.
Oh, God.
I know, right? But here's
Welcome
the thing.
Welcome to the corporate hellscape.
Here's the thing. I've been paying far less because I've still been on a student plan since like 2012, and they won't fix it.
I should check if I'm still on the student plan because I definitely was at some point. What do you want to promote, Steven?
I'm going to promote the Fleshebo.
Hey, you want to enunciate that better? Because that sounds like it's the Flesh Amiibo.
No, well, kind of. It's Flash Ebo. It's an Amiibo spoofer. I am not...
Is it illegal? Are you promoting a crime?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, he bought it from somebody,
I bought it from...
It's not sponsored.
I bought it from, like, a major website, so...
Okay, it's probably fine.
Someone's selling it.
Sure.
No, it's just, you spoof Amiibos, because I sure as hell am not paying $30 for an Amiibo.
No.
For it to take up space in my apartment.
I guess I shouldn't get on my high horse. I've vaguely promoted piracy, like, 30 times.
Anyway, yeah, it just like you use it, you tap it, and it does all the Amiibo things. And I have no reason to buy Amiibo. So
is stuff that unlocks in games like actually consequential? I've never used one.
Some of it is. Some of it's just cosmetic. Which,
oh, okay.
Again, why am I paying $30 for something cosmetic? That's dumb.
Because people will.
Yeah, but I think like for Smash Bros, you can do more elaborate things with it.
Okay.
For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
You want to see me flash my Ebo?
Oh, bye.
Bye-bye.